Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said unto the people, "Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord." And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." My subject this morning is taking the city. Taking the city. You want to take the city? Yes. Amen. You want to see any walls come down in your own life? Yes. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The walls of Jericho were immense. They wrapped around the city of Jericho like a suit of armor. 2 circles of stone rising 40 feet above the ground. They were impenetrable. The people living inside those walls were known to be barbaric. They were ferocious. They withstood all sieges and repelled all invaders until the day that Joshua showed up, until the day an army of believers marched around the city. Until the day that the earth began to shake and the walls fell down, the unstoppable fortress met the unstoppable force. What you need to know about Joshua is that he did not bring the walls down. His soldiers never used a battering ram. They never rammed the first door. They did not pry loose 1 stone. The shaking and the quaking and the rumbling and the tumbling of the thick walls was something that took place not because of Joshua, not because of the army of Israel, but because of Almighty God. I am preaching, I believe, to today to some people who have a Jericho standing in your path. There are some strongholds of fear or doubt, unbelief, anger, bitterness, guilt, negativity, anxiety, addiction, and on I could go. Your Jericho is whatever is standing in the way and keeping you from going in to the land that God has promised you to go into. The promise that God has for you to enjoy, but the things that are hindering and standing in the way of you enjoying and receiving the promises of God in your life. The enemy will use whatever he can use to block the path, to keep you from inheriting and receiving the promise that God has already promised to you. I preached from this book a couple months ago, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, which said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." God had given them the land of promise. It was a gift to them from God. But in order to possess the land, they had to arise, they had to cross over to Jordan, and they had to possess their possession. I'm preaching to people here today But in order to receive the promise, there's something you have to do. You have to obey the voice of God. You have to obey the commandment of God. You have to arise. You have to cross over the Jordan. You have to take the land that God has given to you. The enemy is not just going to run off just because you show up. He's not going to run off just because God speaks a word to you. You have to rise. You have to cross over. You have to be obedient to the things that God tells you to do. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I do swear unto their fathers to give them. God's words to Joshua are God's word to us, and that is, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Arise and to take the city. Possess the land that God has given you to possess. But notice again what it is that God says to Joshua. Joshua 6 and 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the kings thereof and the mighty men of valor. God did not say to Joshua, you have to take the city. God said, I have given you the city. Joshua, you are to receive that which I have already taken. Joshua did not have to conquer the city. All that he and the people of God had to do was be obedient to the command that God had given to them. He didn't have to fight the fight. He just had to listen to what it was that God said to him to do. All he had to do was be obedient. Everybody say, be obedient. Be obedient. You know, some people would rather fight than obey. Some people would rather fight than be obedient to what God tells them to do in their life. But if you fight instead of obey, you're going to be defeated. Whenever Joshua told the people it was time to take the city of Jericho, I'm sure that there were some men, young and strong and courageous and full of faith, that were just chomping at the bits to take the city. We're ready, Joshua. We have the ladders. We have the ropes. We ready to scale the walls. Our spears are sharpened. Our swords are polished. Which side of the city you want us to charge first? But Joshua 6 through 10 said, Joshua called together the priest and he said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the city, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the priests carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Armed guards marched both in front of the priest and behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, and then shout. No battle cry, no hand-to-hand combat, no flashing swords, no flying spears, no battering rams or catapults, just priests blowing trumpets, blowing horns, and people marching in silence. Somebody might say, what kind of warfare is this? It's God's kind of warfare. It's spiritual warfare. And can I remind you this morning that every battle that we face is a spiritual battle? Every conflict in your life is a conflict between Satan and his forces. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness that is in high places. Our battle is against the forces of hell. And can I remind you that hell doesn't like you? Can I remind you that hell is not for you? Can I remind you that the devil does not play fair? Satan plays and fights dirty. He's deceptive. He's a liar. He wants you to believe that he's on your side. He wants you to believe that he's your friend. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible reveals to us exactly who he is and exactly what he wants to do. And he wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy every one of us here this morning. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Just as Jericho was a stronghold in Canaan, there are strongholds in our lives as well, and you will not be able to conquer them depending upon yourself, upon your own power, upon your own strength, upon your own ability. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 says, "In casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Paul defines a stronghold as an argument or a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It is a conviction or an outlook or a belief that it attempts to interfere with truth. Another translation describes a stronghold as an imagination, a lofty opinion, a warped philosophy. A stronghold is a false premise that denies God's promise. It sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Folks, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the devil wants us to believe. What matters is, what does God say? What matters is, what does the truth of the Word of God reveal? How does God feel about what it is that he has to say? So we have to bring every one of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not what we think, not how we feel. What does the Word of God say? How does God think? How does he feel about the things that he has to say? And then we have to bring everything that's in our mind, every thought that's contrary to the Word of God, we have to bring those thoughts in captivity to the obedience of God's Word. And we are to live our life according to his Word, not our Word. According to his truth, not our truth. According to the way he feels, not the way that we feel. But that's contrary to what you hear and what you read and what you see that's prevalent in our world in 2018. The world and the media want you to believe that you're your own God. That whatever you want to believe is your truth. You have your truth, I have my truth, and we all have our own truth, and we just believe whatever it is that we want to believe. Can I tell you that that kind of thinking will cause you to be lost? That kind of thinking will send you to a devil's hell. What God says is what God means, and how God feels is how God feels, and we're going to be judged according to what God said and how God feels about the things that we're doing and the things that he has recorded for us in his Word. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar in Romans 3:4. Let God be true, not you be true. Not your neighbor be true, not Hollywood be true, not what anybody says, well, it's just okay. This is, if God said it's okay, it's okay. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how you was raised. What matters is the truth of God's Word. So we have to bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Those thoughts that tell us things that go contrary to what God's Word tells us. It attempts to magnify the problem, a stronghold does. It attempts to magnify the problem and minimize God's ability to solve it. So let me ask you this question. Are there any strongholds in your life today? Is there any Jerichos in your path? Do you feel nothing but despair? Do you think thoughts of defeat? Do you speak the language of impossibility? Well, God can never forgive me. That's a stronghold of guilt. I can never forgive that person. That's a stronghold of resentment. Bad things always happen to me. That's a stronghold of self-pity. I don't deserve to be loved. That's a stronghold of rejection. I'll never recover. That's a stronghold of defeat. I'm only as good as I look. That's a stronghold of appearance. My value equals my possession. That's a stronghold of materialism. These and many other strongholds the enemy uses to bring people under his control and under his lies to keep them from enjoying and living the promises of God. But the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us power and love and a sound mind. The Bible tells us that God has given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. So we don't have to live beneath the lie of the enemy. We don't have to believe his lies. We don't have to live under his curse. We don't have to live under his domain. The power of God at work in our life is greater than the powers and the forces of hell that work against us. God wants us to have the victory. Anybody want the victory? God wants us to enjoy his promises. Anybody want to enjoy his promise? You want to see some walled cities come down in your life? Well, how does that happen, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. That happens by being obedient to the word of God. That happens by doing exactly what the children of Israel did, doing things God's way and keeping God in the center of everything. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. And so Joshua placed the ark in the middle of the procession. We don't attack Jericho with anger. We don't attack Jericho with casting blame. We don't attack our strongholds by pointing fingers. We keep God center stage, and we use the weapons that he has given us to use. We use the weapon of worship. We use the weapon of his word. We use the weapon of prayer. So God gave Joshua orders for some people to march ahead of the ark and for some more to march behind the ark. And then he gave these orders to the people in verse 10. He said, "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded, "not a single word from any one of you until I tell you to shout, and then shout." Wow. That would eliminate the chance of victory for a lot of people I know. Woo! I can't talk. I can't make a sound. I can't say a word. How unfair is that? Who does Joshua think he is? Dictator. Telling me what to do. Telling me what I can't do. I can do whatever I want. You can't if you want the victory. You can't if you want God fighting your battle. If you want God fighting your battle, then you better do what God said do, the way God said do it. So Joshua told the people, be quiet. Zip it. Shut up. Don't say a single word. No chit-chat. No sharing your opinion. No second-guessing the sanity of the leader. No whining. Keep your opinion to yourself. We think this is a strange order, but God knew what he was doing when he told Joshua this, and Joshua knew what he was doing when he passed it on to the people. Because you get people together and they start talking. They start running their mouth. They start sharing their opinion. They start talking about how stupid it is what we're doing. Who does he think he is? What kind of order is this? How much pizza did he eat last night? No talking. Keep your mouth shut, he said. Not a sound. And so the people, remarkably, thankfully, obeyed. They kept their mouth shut. And they started marching around the walls of Jericho. The enemy is on the inside, probably standing on these walls, looking down at this crazy group of people who is encircling their city. They don't have any guns. They don't have any tanks. They don't have any weapons. All they're doing is marching around the city. They probably started laughing. They probably started mocking. They probably started making fun. But I believe every day that went by, the party on the inside got a little less. And the sound grew a little quieter. And by the fifth day, they're probably almost as quiet on the inside of the city as they are on the outside of the city, wondering what in the world is taking place. What is going on with this group of people walking around our city? They had never seen anybody do anything like this. I mean, this is crazy. This is unusual warfare. But again, I remind you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight the fight of faith using the devil's weapons. We don't fight it using our own weapons. We fight it doing what God tells us to do, fighting the kind of fight he instructs us and he leads us to fight. That's why a lot of people never can win the victory. It's because they're fighting on their own strength. They're fighting depending upon their own power. They're fighting using their own weapons. They're fighting the enemy the wrong way. They're fighting the way they think they should be fighting instead of fighting the way that God tells us to fight. Now, can I tell you, if what you're doing is not working, why don't you try something different? Well, Pastor, I've been fighting this battle for 38 years. Well, hello. Why don't you retire that weapon? Why don't you put it in the closet? Why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you throw it in the dumpster? It's not working. Hello. So you need a different weapon. You need a different plan of attack. Stop fighting the way that you think you ought to fight and fight the way God wants you to fight. And that means swallowing your pride. Oh, I got this. Do you? Have you? Why are you still defeated? Why are you still in bondage? Why is the stronghold still standing in your life? There's a reason. And the reason is you're not fighting the right fight. You're not using the right weapons. You're not being obedient to the voice of God. Well, Pastor, I've tried. I can't. Can't, never could. The reason you can't is because you're not doing it the right way. Been using the wrong weapons. You've been using the wrong tactics. Romans 8 and 37 says, in all these things, everybody say all these things. Not a few things, not a most things, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. In all of these things, in all of these battles, we're more than conquerors, not by ourselves and our own power and our own ability and our own strength and our own wisdom, but through him. Philippians 4:13, I can, everybody say I can. I can do all things, everybody say all things. Through Christ, say Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. I can win all victories. I can overcome all temptation through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Does that sound good to anybody here besides me? Thank you. Not just good, but wonderful. I like that. The battle is not ours to win, the Bible says. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our job, what we do in the battle, is to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. Why do we have such a hard time obeying? Thinking we know what's best. I want to do it my way. That's pride. Our job is to be obedient. Another problem that some people have is they want to know everything in advance. Anybody like that here? They're not willing to walk by faith. They aren't willing to just do what God says do without knowing the end, without knowing how it's going to all end up, how it's all going to play out. Folks, that's not the way God operates. This walk that we're walking is a walk by faith and not by sight. You either believe him or you don't. You either take him at his word or you don't. God doesn't always tell us everything that there is to know concerning the future. What God does tell us is what he wants us to do next. And then he expects us to do that. What he told us to do next, without talking back, hello, without arguing, without dragging your feet, without mumbling and grumbling and asking questions every step of the way. Those are signs of doubt. Why am I having to do this? Well, what about this? Well, how much longer than that? No, you don't like to hear that, do you? God don't like to hear it either. Did I tell you to do something? Yes. Okay, that's enough. Just do it. Don't reason it out. Don't try to figure it out. No, just do it. Just obey. It's a walk by faith and not by sight. Well, that's foolish. Well, that's what faith is. Faith is foolish. It's a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. I don't see the evidence, but I'm going to have faith to believe it. So it really comes down to whether we believe God or we don't believe God. We're going to trust him that he knew what he was saying in his word and believe that and act upon that, or either we're not. And when we're not, well, then we become our own God. It's about what we think. It's about how we feel. It's about what we believe. So Joshua told the people to start marching. He told them to keep their mouth shut. Well, how many times do we have to do this, Joshua? None of your business. I'm not telling you. And he didn't. He didn't tell them how many trips around the city they was going to have to make. God told Joshua, but Joshua didn't tell the people. Well, we need to know everything you know. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. That's up to God to decide what you need to know. Boy, it got quiet on that. Not a peep. So they marched around the walls of Jericho one time a day for the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around the wall seven times. And then it happened. Verse 15 and 16 says, on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn. And they marched around the city as they had done before. But this time they went around the city seven times. And the seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast on the horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now to the people, the seventh day was just like every other day. But to God, this was the day. As they began their march, one trip around, just like they had for 6 days. And then the procession kept going, so they marched two times. And then they marched three times. And some people probably started wondering what was going on. Some might have questioned whether Joshua had been out in the sun too long. He's lost his ability to reason. He's forgotten how to count. Some might have wondered if he was just going to march them to death. All kinds of questions probably arose in some of them's mind, but I can't help but believe that some in the group started to get excited. It's something different. We haven't been doing this. It's two times. It's three times. It's four times. And I believe somebody in there probably started getting excited. I believe somebody probably said, hey, this is a little different. This is a little unusual. I believe something supernatural is about to take place. And I wonder if there's anybody here in this congregation of people, members of Cottonwood Christian Fellowship, that you feel like there's a little bit of something going on here. There's a supernatural. work that take place here. God is working, God is moving, and God is leading, and God is guiding. And God is going to do what he said he was going to do. God is going to bring the strongholds down. God is going to give us the city. Anybody have faith like that? Anybody believe what I'm telling you here this morning? Oh, that's just another sermon, Pastor. That's just another trip around the block. That's just another Sunday. Oh, I hope somebody can believe. I hope somebody can exercise some faith. I hope somebody can sense that God is talking, that God is working, that God is moving. Verse 20 says, that must be my time's up. Verse 20 said, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the walls fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Anybody ready to take the city? Anybody ready to claim Alamogordo for Jesus Christ? I said, is anybody ready to claim Alamogordo for Jesus Christ? If you want to be a part of that, stand to your feet and let's give God some praise here this morning. I believe we'll be obedient. I said, I believe we'll be obedient and march in faith and shout the shout of victory that God will give us to sit at. As you remain standing, we're going to close a little different here this morning. Today is Celebration Sunday. You should have had your cards filled out that you've been writing on and praying about for the last month and a half or so. This is the day of reckoning. This is the day we give to our campaign and to the furtherance of the gospel in this city and the building that we believe God wants us to build to see the salvation of hundreds and thousands of souls. So what I want you to do, number one, I want you to be quiet. I don't want you to say a word. I don't want you to make a sound, just like they did in the Bible. And what we're going to do is one section at a time. I want you to march by this basket up here, and I want you to put the big offering that you brought today, hopefully, in this basket. And this card, and if you've already given, if you've already put it in the box back there, that's okay. But if you can march and you will march, I would like for you to march. If there's any walled cities in your life, if there's any problems that you're facing, if there's anything that you're up against as you march around here, I want you to believe in your heart that when we get through here and we all shout the shout of victory, I want you to believe that God's going to bring those walls down. Okay? So we're going to march one section at a time. And after all the sections get through, at my instruction, we're going to shout the shout of praise. All the band, after you get through putting yours in here, you can come on up here and get ready. And then we're going to close out with the song that we sang Wednesday night, Take This City. Okay, everybody understand? No talking, no laughing, no criticizing, no talking bad about the preacher. All right? So everybody over here on this section, if you'll just file out, when they get through, this session can start. When they get through, this session can start. When they get through, that section to start. Just go back to your seat. If you don't have anything to put in here, I still want you to march if you're able to march, okay? Go ahead.